Welcome back to the Reality Serve Drill podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Michelle, and today we are coming to you with an episode. We have no traders to talk about. Traders is over. Actually, let's talk about traders a little bit because we never got your thoughts on it. Just briefly, we can do that. And then we'll talk about the challenge, The Bachelor, and we'll finish off here with Survivor. So, getting started today, let's just get your thoughts on the traders really quick. What did you, I know, I wish you were here last week because I think that you have a completely different take than what me and Abby had last week.
I just thought the finale was boring. Like, as soon as they revealed Brittany's vote, I was like, oh, it's over for Brittany too. I know they tried to edit it like she was gonna convince Dolores or whatever, and Gabby, but I could, as soon as they revealed, I was like, oh, Brittany's done for too. That was kind of a really, I love her, but that was not really the smartest move to switch it. Like, if she was going to do it from the start. I don't even think that probably would have saved her, but to switch it was just so weird.
Well, I think that the bad thing about it is that Danielle was her shield. Danielle was her like only chance of making it to the finale.
Totally.
But I did like that she was honest about when she was the seer or whatever, she was honest about Gabby. I liked that. And obviously I was super excited because I wanted both Gabby and Dylan to win. And I know you thought that that like wasn't going to be possible, but I'm guessing you thought that there was another murder.
The thought when we were talking, I thought that oh, what I said was for in order for Danielle and Brittany to somehow win, they had to murder Dylan or Gabby because then they could get Ivor and Dolores's votes. But then there was no, I was so fucking confused because there was no other murderer, which I should have known that because I've watched so many versions of the show. But,
Well, I was
because I
super.
knew they're too smart. Like, they weren't going to fall for it. Like, maybe Dolores would and maybe Ivor. Although Ivor actually was smarter than I thought at the end there, so.
Well, I'm really glad that those two won. I can see where you're coming from with like the boring aspect of it, as far as like they all chose to end the game right away, and like there were four winners instead of, you mean obviously last season it was like crazy with Trishelle changing her mind and deciding to win with CT. Like that was super exciting, even for people who aren't huge challenge fans. So I can see like the boring aspect in that, but I did overall, I was happy, you know, with the winners. I was happy. I was surprised when they said that Dolores voted wrong like 8 out of the 10 times. And she still won. I don't know that she's necessarily the most deserving winner, but it's cool to have our first housewife winner for sure. Ivor, you know, I can take him or murder him, it's fine. Don't necessarily think he deserved the win, but I don't think that there was any way Dylan was going to banish him either, so I understand it. But Gabby and Dylan, they've really been making the rounds, it seems, like post show. Like they've really been doing all the interviews. Good for them. So happy for those two.
I saw Gabby was at least on Watch. Was Dylan on Watch What Happens Live too? I know Gabby was on it.
They both were on Watch What Happens Live, and then I can't remember if it was like Kimmel or Fallon, but they were on one of the late night shows. And then I know Gabby's done like a couple other interviews too. So, and I know Dylan was on Vile Files, so they've both been really out there. Doing their post-show interviews, and yeah, I'm very happy with both of those winners and happy for both of them for. I think it is funny though, as somebody who obviously watches a lot of competition reality TV, how Gabby has said over like multiple times all over the place that like she hasn't gotten paid yet. And as we know, most reality TV shows don't pay, competition shows don't pay out until after the finale airs. So it's hilarious that like she's been doing these interviews like some of them like a week after filming ended, and it's like you really haven't gotten paid for a week. I don't know if she obviously she didn't realize that, but I
Maybe
think
it's
it's hilarious.
I don't know. It seemed like she was like trying to make like a joke, like it's funny or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I think that, yeah, I think she's just maybe she is trying to make a joke, but I just think it's funny that she's like complaining about it and it really hasn't been that long. But you know, I know we talked about on this podcast, and I'll just like reiterate it here again, that Benedict said, you remember with like Lovers and Liars, like F Girl Island, how they like ended the show early and then it all the last few episodes like went up on demand or whatever it was.
Yeah, on CW app, yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't get paid because their show didn't complete airing.
Yikes.
So that's like that's how I know that shows don't pay out until it's done airing, because Benedict and Casey and CJ didn't get paid because their show never finished airing. And Benedict said that on one of his podcasts. So that's interesting and something to keep in mind. If you ever do a competition show, you're not going to get paid until it's over. Speaking of competition shows, let's dive right into the challenge then. Unless you have any final thoughts on Traitors.
No, but I know they're going to film the next one soon.
That's super exciting to me. And you know what I love about Traitors is that they don't let other people spoil their cast, and after when they start filming, they just drop the cast.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they did that. Yeah, okay.
I
That's a
love that. So, yeah, so when that comes out, we can touch on the people that are going to be filming that season. I think I saw spoilers earlier today about like the rumored cast of Amazing Race. It's like all Big Brother people. It's not. Did you see that list?
Yeah, it's all Big Brother people and their family members.
Besides Taylor and Kylan are supposedly partnered together.
Yeah, I think what I read was someone on Taylor's family didn't want to do it at the last minute, so they had to like find a backup. So that's how the Kylan weaseled his way in.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because one of the rules, I don't know, this is what I
Kylan
was.
and Taylor.
One of the rules was it could only be one Big Brother person in each pair, so that's why it was like Tucker was with someone and Rubina was with someone. But then I guess whoever she was with dropped out at the last minute, so they put Kylan with her.
Interesting. Yeah, that just shows how bad they wanted Taylor though, because there were also two alternates listed too. One thing
Well,
that I
Taylor
thought.
was rumored for Traitors season four, so I
Oh,
think
that's
CBS,
true.
like, we got to keep Taylor as a CBS person because she's hosting the Big Brother round tables now. Like, they don't want to lose her to become a Peacock person.
Sure. And I don't blame them for that. And especially after I know Jeff Probst has said recently that he doesn't like Survivor people doing other shows. So
And they're losing a lot of people, like, it's typically CBS stars to Peacock.
one thing I found interesting about it too is that I saw Enzo on the list, but he's like the only one that is from an older season. I feel like everybody is from like the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, there were some older people rumored, but then none of them I saw in the final cast. The oldest one before that, I think, was Natalie, and she was like BB16.
I guess I don't even consider Natalie to be. I guess I didn't see her season,
No,
so
she wasn't
that's why.
16. She was, I'm sorry, I forget what season she was. 17 or 18?
But she also is was on so many seasons of The Challenge that's also how I feel about Enzo, since he did All Stars and he also did USA. He's not really like. They're not bringing him back. He's been kind of in the reality TV mix recently within the last couple of years.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry, Natalie's from 18. I don't know. I associate her with 16. I don't know why, but she's from 18.
Okay. And 16 was.
Cody, Derek,
Okay.
Frizzell,
Okay.
Amber B, Caleb, Frankie Grande, all those people.
Frankie Grande would be a good one on Traitors.
Oh yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't try to get him.
He'd be really good. Okay, so moving on to the challenge. This episode was a mess. In the beginning of the episode, everybody is talking about who is they. Nobody can figure it out who they is. Everybody thinks it's like a different person. Nobody's on the same page. Amber and Melissa are wanting to break up like Veronica and Frank. Veronica, Shane, Frank, and Adam are wanting to put in one of the stronger teams, either like Amber and Fessy or Nani and Turbo. Shane and Frank talk about like being careful because of the other people's connections within the house. This was a really chaotic social episode.
Yeah, and I feel like they left part, I don't know, I feel like stuff was left out.
I think a lot of things have been left out this season. From what I've heard in different interviews and stuff, Shane was like a
Yeah.
really big part of the season, and they've just kind of let his edit left it alone until now.
This was the first episode I even really saw him in.
So I listened to Corey Lay on well, both Zach's podcast and on Challenge Mania, but I think Challenge Mania was actually the better podcast in the regard that like Scott actually asked about like the Shane hookup and the Shane fallout that like wasn't seen. And Corey says that they like hooked up at the hotel and that everything started at the hotel. And then when they got to the house, Shane like tried to distance. Is Shane in a relationship? That's kind of the gist that I get from this.
I
Is
don't
that
know.
I think Shane like, because then Shane went on Instagram or maybe it was like notes on Twitter, or no, he doesn't have Twitter, so it had to be Instagram, saying that like I never hooked up with Corey, that's not true, and like I don't know, it makes it seem like I think that sh I really think Shane was in a relationship. He hooked up with Corey, regretted it, and then tried to get behind it. Was talking shit about Corey, said some really hurtful things that like Corey wouldn't even repeat on the podcast. So, and said that like Davon like strongly took his side. So it makes me think that like maybe it was racial. I'm not really sure. But it was like something that he wouldn't talk about. So, and didn't, but said it was something that he don't doesn't think that Shane like realized would be offensive until like after he said it, type of thing. So like I don't think that it was something like super racist by any means, but like maybe like microaggressions that wouldn't make him look good is kind of the undertone I got from the fact that literally nobody will talk about it. Not even Frank is talking about it, and Frank is talking about everything. But maybe it's not racial, maybe it's just something else that's bad, but since Shane is also gay, I can't really see it being something gay offensive. I don't know.
I have actually no clue what happened. You know a lot more than I do, so I didn't hear any of this.
Yeah, there's so that's why Shane has been left out of the edit, because whatever happened, nobody is talking about.
There's not gonna be a reunion either, so we're never gonna find out. Okay.
So moving on to the daily challenge, since I guess there's like nothing really more I can say about that because I nobody else has said anything. Frank did confirm the hookup. Corey obviously was there and confirmed the hookup. So there's like definitely that definitely happened, whether Shane wants to deny it or not. I believe it happened anyway. I believe Corey. I don't think he would lie about something like that. I don't see why he would. What, like, that's weird. So yeah, I don't really have anything else to say on that until unless somebody else speaks on it, because I don't know more. But I do know that It sounds like Shane got a good edit, and that's why we haven't been seeing him. Corey did say in the Challenge Mania like interview that he thinks that part of the reason why is because like they brought Shane back. This is his first return, and he thinks that like production didn't want to bring him back to have him look bad right away, and they want to be able to cast him on future seasons without like
Didn't so
backlash. What?
just that they didn't like that's what I don't understand. Like, there are so many good people from all this All-Star season they could have put on 41 that they didn't, but
Oh yeah, I know. I know. I think that some of the All-Stars maybe don't want to do like back-to-back seasons.
I don't, some of these people seem thirsty to do anything. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like Frank, if they asked Frank back, he would have come back.
I don't know. Frank has said that he's been asked back for like every season. And he turns it down for whatever reason, because he like has a real job and a life and whatever. But I do think we'll definitely see Frank back. Also, I was thinking about after like I meant to say this after listening to some of his lives and stuff. I've definitely seen Frank before because I've seen Free Agents, I've seen Rivals too. I don't know why I don't.
He looked a little, he didn't look exactly the same.
Okay. Okay, I'll have to like refresh my memory and like I was like, was he an early boot on these seasons? Like I don't know.
He's always a pretty, he was always kind of a big character, even if he goes out early.
Really? Okay. So I've definitely seen Frank before, but I don't remember him as being, maybe he just like wasn't one of my favorites. So I just obviously, I mean, he couldn't have been or I would remember him more, but
Yeah.
I am loving him this season. He is messy. I've said this like 3 times now, so I'll get into the daily challenge finally. It was called Blow Your Mind. And they have to memorize a puzzle key and then hit a detonator. Once they hit the detonator, it will burn the answer key on both sides. So basically, like the partners start on like two sides of a lane, and they have to go in, memorize their answer keys, and then when they get to the middle, they have to solve a puzzle. I thought that this was a really cool challenge because it all had to do with time zones and remembering the different time zones of when of what each country was and how far it was off from LA. So the initial LA puzzle time wasn't the same as the time in the middle. So the time that it was at like didn't really matter on like the answer keys or whatever, the puzzle keys. It didn't matter as much as like memorizing what the different time zone differences were to LA. And I think it's cool that like Shane did well in this challenge because of his job calling all around, knowing the different time zones all around the world. Katie and Veronica win this. Obviously, they have the advantage, or not advantage, but they're able to do it because they're smart, basically. And I love that.
I wish they showed more of like the checks.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I thought it was hilarious how I don't think it was smart for Dario to just like y lose on purpose basically, but I thought it was hilarious how he called check and then everybody else started calling check because they were like scared. And like even like Adam and Steve even like admitted it that that was like got them in their head.
Yeah. I guess I wish they did they show like here's the boards, here's how many you got, right? Like I wish we saw that.
Yeah, I always wish that we saw more.
It was just like, oh, they got here's the top two teams. They didn't even say like, oh, Veronica. Well, I guess it said Veronica and Katie got them all. Did they say that?
I think Veronica and Katie and Shane and Davon both got them all.
Okay, and that's why they didn't show it. Okay, I just was
It
confused.
came down to time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that will always be my issue with the challenge. I wish we saw more checks. I wish we saw more answers, and I wish we saw the times. I wish it was more of like a game than like leaving it up to production to tell us the truth. But I'll always wish that, and I'll never get my way.
And this would have been a fun one if the last place team had to go into elimination. It's just like all those checks didn't really matter because it only matters who won yet again.
Yeah. But I loved that Katie and Veronica won. I mean, they're obviously not an endurance-based team, so there's not a whole lot that they will win. And I really like that they had the opportunity to win in this one by just being smart. Being the smartest team is why they won.
Yeah, I
Like,
was happy with them.
yeah, same. I actually gave Veronica my MVP. I thought she really commanded this e episode all the way around. I mean, from winning the daily to getting the people that she wanted to get into elimination, to threatening Nicole. I mean, all of it was just great.
Yeah, I had her for my MVP. Too.
What did you think about her threatening Nicole?
I don't know. It didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me either. I thought that it was hilarious, honestly. I was like laughing. I was like, okay, let's go, Veronica. After the daily, we have Frank saying he wants Amber and Fessy versus Nani and Turbo. And Nani and Devon are talking about how they want Frank and Sam to go in. Shane tells, this is the first time we really like see Shane. Shane tells Melissa and Nicole that if they vote for Frank and Sam, like they have all the votes for Frank and Sam. Melissa and Nicole were like really the swing vote here. And no one is talking to Katie and Veronica, and Veronica is pissed. And I totally agree, she should be, because like they won. They like she could throw any of them in. I love
They just didn't want her to know what they were planning to do. So, I mean, but obviously she caught on to that.
Well, and it's because that they wanted Frank and Sam, and they knew that Frank and Veronica were working so closely together. At this point, I think it's like pretty clear who's on what side.
Yeah.
I love Melissa and Nicole fighting. I
They're
mean,
fun. Yeah, they're funny together.
and they're rivals. Like, this is a rival season, so I love it when the different rival pairs are going at it. It really makes it like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's like sweet when like, oh, they like mend fences and whatever, but when they're not getting along, it just makes the season all the much better to me. Amber and Fessy try to secure Melissa, but the problem is they can't because Nicole was threatened by Veronica. If Veronica or if Nicole doesn't vote Veronica's way, then Nicole and Melissa are going into elimination. And I don't blame Nicole for voting for Fessy and Amber because of that. I really don't. I wouldn't risk, I wouldn't risk going in either. I guess like maybe they could beat Frank and Sam depending on like what the elimination would be, because if that would be who is going in if they voted the other way.
Not with that puzzle. I don't think so, right?
Probably not. That's not their strong suit.
I think Frank and Sam would have beat them. So it was a smart decision.
Yeah, I think so too. And like I know that you have to get a star in order to run the final, so like the numbers are dwindling to get that star, but at the same time, I just feel like a strong team is going in. I don't know. I just don't think that this was the time to do it. Now, I was like a little surprised. Oh, no, I wasn't actually. I was gonna say about Amber and Ashley because they seem to be super close, but obviously, if the other pair is Frank and Sam, then Ashley's not going to vote for Frank and Sam. She would vote for probably any of the other teams over Amber, but not Frank and Sam. So that's unfortunate. We have Frank going off after deliberation, just like, who is saying this about me? Who is voting for me? Blah, blah, blah. Like, oh man, he was on one. And for like the end, for his like quote of like, oh man, that was gold. I have that as one of my quotes, and it's just
I think he's like stirring the pot and then he's playing victim. I didn't really enjoy. I'm just like, you're just being really annoying. Like, he stirred the pot, then Amber calls him out. Who else called him? Someone else called him out. Devon called him out. Shane says, Devon doesn't even want to talk to you. And then he plays victim. I don't know. I didn't really care for it. He's not that entertaining. Like, he's so forced and put on, and like, he doesn't entertain me that much, I have to say. It's too forced.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, I think he puts on a good show. I think he's
Yeah, I see
definitely.
it. I see the show he's putting on. I don't like that. I'd rather be like Nicole and Melissa were cracking me up more. Like, I
Yeah.
was more entertained by them because I could tell they were really fighting and really mad at each other.
Well, they didn't agree at all. They're on completely different sides right now, and they're partners. It's hilarious. I mean, yeah, I agree with that. Melissa and Nicole fight for sure over Frank's mess, but I guess the reason why I'm liking it is because we've seen so much like kumbaya, like people getting along, people not stirring the pot like this in the last couple seasons. That for me, it's like, okay, like this is what I want to see more of, this kind of gameplay. I want to see people backstab each other. I want to see people cause chaos, really. And I just, it's so much fun to watch.
And you know what? I like it from Veronica, and I like it from Katie, and I like it from Dario because it all fit, that feels so much more authentic to me than what Frank's trying to do. I don't know why. I could be really wrong. Maybe this is just how he is, but he seems like he's like really acting and beefing it up for the camera.
Yeah, no, he definitely is putting on a show for sure. But he's not playing for next season, and that's what I like.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So we get to the elimination, and it's called Scratch Off. And so what they have to do is they have to use a coin to scratch the surface of a game board, and like replicate the image in a puzzle form. So the house vote was Fessy and Amber, and Katie and Veronica put it in Nani and Turbo, which is really smart because they're going to be getting out one of the strongest teams by doing this. And Nani and Turbo end up winning, and Amber and Fessy go home. I love Amber, so I was sad to see her go. I kind of wish it was Nani and Turbo that would have lost.
Me too. Me too.
But
I honestly loved Amber and Fessy this season. I really like them.
yeah, their dynamic was so good.
I honestly was like, I don't really like Fessy is so funny because I loved him on Big Brother and then I hated him when he started doing the challenge. But now after this season, I'm like, oh, I think I like him again. I don't know.
Well, that's good. I think the thing with Fessy is that people like, messy Fessy or whatever. And the only reason he was ever really messy is because he was hooking up with like multiple people. And that's like not messy as far as the challenge is concerned. Like, yeah, maybe on like Love Island, but not, I don't know.
You know what? I think he's a better person when he has a girlfriend. Because on Big Brother, he was with Haley, and I really liked him then. And then now he says he has a girlfriend, and I thought he was like very, very normal and nice.
Which I think is the reason why he hasn't got cast on like 40 or the last couple seasons, is because he's boring. Because he was on 38, but when he was on 38, he had a girlfriend during that season, and I think that was the reason why he didn't really get much screen time, is because what does he do if he doesn't hook up? Like, he doesn't really have, like, I don't know, he's just like a good competitor. But I really think that the Amber relationship is what made him so good to watch this season because they had like that true rival dynamic in the beginning that blossomed into, like they said in the elimination, ride or dies.
And I wish they put them both on 41 so that you could see if he really still had her back or he just like abandoned her for other people once he was back on the regular show, you know?
Totally. Totally. I would love to see them both do another season together to see that dynamic. I think it'd be really interesting to see. I don't see him turning against her, though. I really don't.
I don't think so either, but you never know.
Yeah, when there's $1 million on the line, you never know what's gonna happen. Especially when, like, if like Casey was there, some of his real friends. Not that I want Casey on another season, but.
Now, Casey, I was literally shocked she wasn't on the Amazing Race cast.
Well, who would she be with, Nani? She can't be.
Her boring brother, Kenny.
Oh my God, I forgot he even existed. That's so funny. Oh my God. Yeah, that's why they didn't get cast, because of her boring brother Kenny.
Maybe.
They are been there, done that, saw that in Ride or Dies, and were like, no, thank you.
It's just like for some reason CBS loves her so much. I was like shocked. I'm like, wow, I'm surprised Casey's not on this one.
That's funny. Maybe she turned it down because, well, I know a lot of people turned it down because they're not paying really well.
Yeah. She makes more money on TikTok, maybe.
But also, maybe she turned it down because she's like not ready to do a show post breakup.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I heard that a lot of girls are excited that Casey's single, so I expect that when she does make a return, she'll be a hot commodity, which is crazy, but hopefully entertaining. Especially if Nani's there to watch it.
Yeah.
At the very end of the episode, we had Shane versus Frank, or not Shane versus Frank, Shane versus Veronica. And that surprised me. I'm super surprised that they're real life friendship is being tested so much because of this game. And I'm really excited to see next episode to see how all that plays out. I'm really liking this season of the challenge. I think that this is by far the best season in a long time.
I don't like the format, so that's kind of killing it for me. But I do, I'm enjoying watching it besides that.
Yeah, I think that they definitely dropped the ball with like last place should go in or something like that, for sure. But I think that they thought that what would save it is that you have to go into elimination, and
Yeah.
it just didn't.
Still nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, everybody's waiting till the end. Who was your LVP?
Hard time picking one because I wasn't gonna pick Fessy and Amber. So I was thinking, what about Melissa? Because she didn't get to vote how she wanted to vote.
Okay.
And she turned on her friend.
That's a good one. I also didn't want to put Amber and Fessy. And I went kind of the same direction as you and put Nicole just because I feel like she didn't get to do what she wanted to do because she was strong-armed and like threatened by Veronica. Now, I'm not mad at Veronica for threatening her, but I think had she not threatened her, Nicole's vote would have been different.
Yeah.
What about your quotes?
I okay, wait, before I do my quote, my favorite moment is the episode is they're doing the freaking daily challenge and the things are lighting on fire. Everybody else is waiting for the fire to go out before they jump through, and Fessy just jumped through the fire. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
That was like my favorite moment of the episode. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That was the highlight of the episode for me. But quotes, we already talked about what when Dario said he was gonna yell check. to fuck everyone up. That was one of my quotes. I liked when Amber spoke up for herself and she said, "They is Frank." And then when Shane was mad, was listing off like all of Frank's, like how he was becoming messy and doing all these things. And then he said, "You know what? That's my type of man."
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. And it's funnier because Frank was so mad about that. He talked about it on his Instagram live. He's talked about
What
it
is he mad about?
on that Shane was like, I like whatever about him being like single, unmarried, whatever. He's like, just because I'm in a happy relationship doesn't give you the right
To do what?
to like to say all this like whatever about him. Like it, yeah, I think that it just like got under his skin.
It was one. I don't know. I didn't think it was. I thought it was more funny than anything.
Yeah. I agree. It was obviously a joke.
Did you have any other quotes?
I did. I actually didn't have any of yours. So,
Good, that's good.
yeah, so Nicole, she says, some people aren't gifted with brains and looks, you know? That's just how life is. And Melissa goes, you got nothing.
Was funny. Funny. I like that.
Steve says, I understand analog clocks just like Flavor Flav. Love the Flavor Flav throwback mention there.
He
Veronica.
was on Masked Singer.
Yeah, he was. Yep. He did a Taylor song. He's a big Taylor fan.
It was real. I couldn't believe they didn't know him after the first time. I don't even really watch Masked Singer. I don't know why I'm into the season, but yeah.
I don't watch Masked Singer at all. I just see clips on TikTok and Twitter. So I'm caught up. I know all about Sheena. I know all about Flav.
Yeah,
I
right.
know all about everything that's happening. I just don't watch it. Then Veronica, I have. Okay, so when she's talking to Melissa and they're like kind of going back and forth, she goes, but you're not the winner. You don't get to do that. I do.
Ah, yes.
And then I have like another Melissa and Nicole interaction. Melissa to Nicole, she says, you'll believe anything anyone tells you, grow a brain. And Nicole says, grow a brain? Well, your fucking brain isn't getting us that far anyways. And then Shane, who man, who is possibly spreading rumors like wildfire all over this house, and it was him. And then Fessy, this elimination is a puzzle. Not the best news for Amber and I. We would have excelled in something maybe cardio based.
Yeah, the elimination was meh.
And then my last quote was the final Frank quote, where he says, if anyone thinks that they have control in this game other than me, they're wrong. I'm sorry. I have been in everybody's ear. And then he says something about Veronica. Then he goes on to say, I have been a part of every single vote, house, and winner. This is about advancing myself on a game board. I'm trying to collect $200. I'm trying to pass go here. Baby, I'm they. And I just. Perfect. Perfect ending of the episode. Loved it.
Right. Yep.
It actually almost is like setting it up like Frank is going to get thrown into elimination next.
Oh, you think?
I mean, I don't know, but I think that a lot of times when somebody is like that cocky about something, it's actually not going to go their way. So I think that's definitely a possibility. At least that's how Survivor edits things.
Yeah, that's you're right.
But I love the ownership and all that. I think, yeah, good stuff. So, do you have any final thoughts on the challenge before I move on and talk about the woman tell all a little bit, the bachelor tell all?
No, I don't think so. That was really it.
Okay, so we had the Bachelor Women Tell All this week, and I have been known to say I actually said on the last podcast that how much I dislike tell alls, how I think that they're like a Bachelor in Paradise audition, and that it's just like drama that isn't real. But
Right.
I ate my words. These people, this was actually the best tell-all that I have seen in a long time.
Really?
People genuinely do not like Carolina. It was the Carolina show. I mean, we had, okay, so first of all, the people in attendance, I'll just say really quick, were Janae, Beverly, Alicia, Vicky, Ella, Chloe, Allie Jo, Rose, Parissa, Bailey, Natalie, Carolina, Alex, Serafina, and Dina. And some of them didn't really get much airtime at all. But I didn't like the girls talk about Zoe without Zoe being there to defend herself because she made top three, so she wasn't at the tell-all. And
Okay.
I really didn't like that. But after the Zoe talk, it was Carolina versus Rose, Carolina versus everyone in regards to Rose, Carolina versus Dina. Then we had Carolina walking off the stage crying during like the commercial break. She doesn't come back after that right away. She eventually comes back. She has a hot seat. I mean, it was the Carolina show. Everything revolved around Carolina. I gave her my MVP because this tell-all would have been boring without her. I mean, it was definitely like shit on Carolina, but like also people like genuinely dislike this girl and it was not fake.
Did she handle it well or no?
So she wore this like blue jacket. And on the jacket, she had like quotes of stuff that like she said, but also like what some of the girls have like said about her in like interviews and stuff.
Oh my God. Okay. I already know.
It was super extra for sure, but like it wasn't the fake beef that you are normally getting in these women tell-alls. It was like people really were pissed at her.
Oh, that.
And yeah, so I ended up giving her my MVP. And I gave Dina my LVP because she got a hot seat. And in her hot seat, she talks about how her family didn't come to hometowns. And she talks about how her family was divided. And ultimately, it was her decision to not have them at hometowns. And she regrets it. Now, a week prior, she was doing interviews talking about how her dad's a pastor. He didn't think it was a good look. Her brothers are super protective. They didn't want her going on TV. Bachelor producers like reached out to her family and they were like, oh, like we thought this was a dating show. Like we didn't know that there was an engagement at the end. Like we don't approve. We don't want to be on TV. So she's like previously said all these things in interviews and then at the tell-all to be like, oh, it was all me. It was actually like my decision. I don't know. I just found her to be saying like she's a lawyer, like the politically correct things, like the things that like maybe to make her family look better, or like, I don't know. She just has really contradicted herself a lot lately. And
Right.
I just wasn't a fan. So unfortunately, although I think she had a great argument against Carolina, in regards to Rose, and I actually gave her a quote, her quote didn't save her hot seat moment for me. The people who did get hot seat moments were Alex. I almost gave the LVP to Alex because, just the progression of the way her time on the show went, but that didn't really have as much to do with like the tell-all, so that's why I want Dina over Alex. But she talks about getting the first impression rose, having the first one-on-one, getting in the drama and how in the end it just really I don't know, she just her connection fell off, I think because of the drama, because and not because she was like in the drama, but because she wasn't, which is a very like weird thing to have against you, but it was almost like she faded into the background because her one-on-one was so early. They did bring out Linda, the no drama llama, which is what she brought on night one. Her like limo entrance was like walking in with a llama.
Oh, okay.
So that was cool that they brought the llama back. Serafina had a great hot seat. She talks about feeling blindsided, not getting a hometown. She talks about her mom and wanting to see her mom to be able to see her like happy and in love. Her mom's getting older. She talks about being nervous about her mom seeing her kiss on TV. And then we get a video from Serafina's mom, and so that was one of my quotes. Her mom is on video. She says, "When I saw the kiss, I turned away from for a little bit, and then I laughed. And remember, and just remember, I'm always watching." And it was just so funny to get this little video from Serafina's mom. And then Serafina says that, you know, my mom's single, she should be on Golden Bachelor. So maybe we'll see Serafina's mom. I mean, obviously that's kind of a trend. Matt James' mom was on the first season of The Bachelor, and then we saw why am I drawing a blank on her name right now? Kelsey's dad on the first season of The Golden Bachelorette. So that'd be cool if we got to see Serafina's mom. I'd be very into that. That would be hilarious. And then we could see like her being, you know, bashful about seeing having Serafina see her kiss. That would be such a cute little moment I hope we get to see. I said that Carolina had a hot seat, but I didn't really touch on it much. She talks about her early connection with Grant, and she talks about her battle that she's had with epilepsy and having seizures, and she like cries talking about it and how great Grant was when she opened up about that, which he was. I think he handled that great. And then they talk about what Grant said to Rose. And Jesse asks her, like, do you think that this was something that you needed to talk to him about? Like, why did you bring it up? It caused all this drama. Like, all the girls were upset that, you know, you were getting all this time and you made it a deal. You kind of like put the nail in the coffin for Rose by doing it. And she said, well, I felt like I had to talk to him about it because it was in my head. And it was either me talking about it or me leaving. And so if that's the case, and she really felt like that, then I agree, she did have to talk to him about it. And honestly, I would feel the same way if I was her. So at the very end, they do play that clip, and basically they all say like it the words were misconstrued. It was a misunderstanding that was taken out of context. Grant did kind of say that, but that's not what he meant. He was talking about when they were all up on stage, not when he was up on stage with Carolina. So there was, yeah, so that was resolved-ish, I don't know, in the best way that it could be. And she does feel like the girls impacted Grant's decision to send her home. And they did. She says she's taking accountability, and I don't really think that she was. Dina had a quote. She says, I thought we learned the definition of accountability today. But sure enough, we didn't, because she is kind of not taking accountability for her actions. But I don't know, she's doing it in a way that is just riling the girls up so much to just like genuinely not like her. I just can't wait for Paradise, because I think that there's going to be some definite drama because the girls hate her, like, hate her. And then we have Grant talking about night one, Alex getting the first impression rose, Dina at hometowns talking about Carolina and her dynamic with all the girls. Grant's sister speaks on being so proud of him. Then we have this like really weird Jesse and Grant doing ch chubby bunny with peeps scene. Jesse wins. It was weird. Then we see like some never before seen footage. They do a Snow White like call to, I guess, where they bring out the magic mirror. They're like, magic mirror on the wall, who was napping most of all, or whatever. And it was like Serafina. The messiest girl was Parissa. The cleanest girl was Dina. Dina's super clean. We learned that Dina does laundry every single day.
Was this like promoting the Snow White movie or something? Oh, okay.
Who loved the mirror the most, which was Grant, which is hilarious. And then that's how they showed the clip for Grant Rose Carolina thing. They're like, mirror, mirror on the wall, what really happened, or did Grant really tell Rose he was thinking about Carolina while he or about her while he was dancing with Carolina, and they played the clip. They talk about Bachelor in Paradise and how it's coming back, but we don't hear if any of the girls are specifically going to be on there or not. I gave my best dress to Alex. She was wearing this like really pretty, like silky green dress that I thought just looked super good on her. So I gave it to Alex. It was like a lighter green color. It was really pretty. Some of my other quotes that I didn't share already, Chloe, they are talking about how when Zoe came out on night one with like the t-shirt gun and she put one of the t-shirts on, she was asked about like why she put it on or like whatever, and she says, I feel like when life gives you lemons, you put on the t-shirt. And I thought that was really funny. And then Serafina, when she is in her hot seat and she's talking about how much she likes Grant or liked Grant, she says, I quite literally jumped off a bridge for that man. When she's talking about her mom before they played the clip of her mom, she says she loves it. This is her favorite show now. And then Carolina, when she's in her hot seat, she says, I'm going to cry again. Sorry to the haters. I thought that was funny. And then my last quote was, Dina, she says, I know you love the idea of people chasing you, but people are not that obsessed with you. And Dina said that, and I just thought it was so funny because literally the whole tell-all was about Carolina, and people are clearly that obsessed with her. So that's all I have for the women tell all, but yeah, I did really, really like it.
That's great.
Yeah. So this week's episode will be fantasy suite dates. They should be super, super crazy because Latia, as we found out in Hometowns, the reason why she hasn't told Grant how she hadn't told Grant how she like felt about him until Hometowns was because of fantasy suites, and she like doesn't know about him being intimate with other people, but she tells her mom this during Hometowns and doesn't tell Grant. So I just know that they're gonna have her last, and I know that he's probably already gonna sleep with somebody before he gets to her, and it's gonna be a mess, and I'm excited. So, moving on to this episode 3 of Survivor. How are you liking this season?
I think they have a really good cast this season. I hate how it's like one tribe going to tribal council every time, but I do like the cast.
I feel like that has happened the last several seasons, and I don't know how they can change that.
They gotta go back to two tribes.
That's how they change it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that would be a big solver for sure. I don't like that either. I'm not a fan of that. And another thing that I'm not a fan of is the way that they do the journey. The first
I
few
don't like that either. You're right. That's gotta go.
Well, the first few seasons that it's not that I don't like the journey, but the first few seasons that I watched, it was like they would have to take this long hike and we would see like them interacting with these other people and whatever and like forming connections that they could like possibly use when they get to the merge type of thing or when there is a tribe swap or something like that. But what we're seeing now is them just getting dropped off at an island and going their separate ways. There is no like camaraderie or time for them to bond besides on the boat, which isn't enough time or
Not
showing
ready for
us
that,
anything. Yeah.
yeah.
It's kind of lame.
I don't really. I never really was a big fan of the journey. I also think we don't really need the 90-minute episodes. We could go back to the hour long. I don't know. This episode felt long to me.
Yeah. The tribal was crazy, but other than that, it was just kind of another episode, really. And they show so much of the immunity reward challenge. I think they could
Yeah.
definitely cut that down. I don't need to see that much of that. It's like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it could go back to hour-long episodes and I wouldn't be upset. I would be very happy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So, what did we have this episode? David talks about his family living and like finance situation, which was interesting. I didn't realize that he. Okay, I also thought it was weird that he said he lived in a trailer park in front of his dad's house. I think he means that he lives in like a trailer home, but that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I confused Kyle too.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. The purple lot.
Like, by the way, on that part, I didn't like any of that. I didn't like how he said, "Oh, my, if I don't win $1 million, I don't have a girlfriend." I didn't like that.
Okay, so that was one of my quotes. I only have a girlfriend if I win $1 million.
Yeah,
Who is
thank you.
going to
There you
leave
go.
me if I don't?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, I didn't really like that either. She's getting older. She wants to have kids. She's not going to be stable with me. But I had to give it the quote because it's dramatic.
It's just to me, I had a hard time with that because it's like she's putting a lot of pressure on that man. And then I'm like, I gotta do some research. And then I saw like he had defended himself and said, like, I went to pilot school. I'm trying to become a pilot. I've been doing all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he kind of makes it sound like he's like kind of like a, I don't know, he's a stunt man, right? Like
Yeah, yes.
maybe a failing stunt man is kind of the way that I took it.
It's probably not that much like lucrative of a career, and it's probably based on when you get the jobs, right? So,
Yeah.
but
Unless you have.
I watched that and listen, I felt bad for him. I'm like, that's a lot of pressure to put on this guy in 2025 when everything's so you need to you're gonna have four kids. He said four kids that they want to have. You're gonna have four kids and she's not gonna work. Like, that's hard for anyone
Yeah.
to live up to. So I felt bad for him.
Well, and also, like, why does she not want to work and why is she putting everything on him?
I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I
A
agree.
lot of pressure. It was a, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll address it. Oh, I don't know. Because the reunion's like right after, right? So we're not going to find anything really out.
No. Unfortunately.
Well, maybe he'll address it on social media when the season's over.
Unless he wins, then we know.
Then they're still together. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing that really confused me was Star was still trying to figure out her puzzle lock. I thought that they helped her figure it out last episode. No?
I thought they were scamming her.
I I thought she already had it unlocked, so I was confused by this, but clearly not. I guess I just was wrong. But yeah, that kind of surprised me, that she still didn't have that figured out. What did you think of Ava making Joe a bracelet to give to his daughter?
Fine. That didn't really bother me. Like, that's okay. She
I
was trying
didn't
to be nice.
mind that it happened, but I did think that it was maybe not smart for her to give it to him in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I
Definitely.
loved Mary and Say when like Say was chasing Mary around the island when they were looking for idols. I loved that. I thought that was
Oh
so
my God, they're so funny together.
funny.
They're really great.
I'm so glad neither of them got eliminated.
I
Even
know.
though Justin got eliminated, so now I have nobody left in the Money League. Womp, womp,
You have
womp.
no one left? Oh
Yeah,
no.
I had Stephanie and Justin.
Oh my God.
I know, I don't know how that happened. That's okay. Not my season. I'll do better next time. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll try. We'll try anyway. I really like this Mitch and Charity connection, and I love that there's a tribe swap next week because I think that that will benefit them because I think that their tribe members are starting to get really leery of them when like nothing has really happened yet. But I love their dynamic together.
Who,
If
I'm sorry, it's two you said.
Mitch and Charity.
Oh, yeah, I like the two. Sad we don't see too much with the other tribes because it's so focused on Say and Cedric and Mary and
This losing
Justin.
team, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not like how Ava and Star, when they were talking game, how Star like lies about finding the beware advantage. Ava suggests getting out the puzzlers. Star right away goes and tells Bianca and Thomas, like, ooh, that whole interaction was just like not good. Not good to me, anyway. When we do get to the immunity and reward challenge, this one was a little bit different than they have been. Of course, it was an obstacle course like it normally is, but they had everybody was blindfolded, and they had one person like was the caller and had kind of had to guide them and guided them through the obstacle to get like the bags containing the keys. And once they had the keys, they had to unlock a slide puzzle, and they also had to guide them doing the slide puzzle.
I
So,
liked it. I thought it was different.
yeah, I liked that it was different too.
It's the first one where, like, usually I like kind of check out a little bit, so I liked it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's just a super long obstacle course. It's like boring. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's my I love Survivor, but that's my least favorite part of the episode, always. The reward this challenge was tarp and hammocks. Eva, Bianca, Kyle, and Charity are the ones who sit out. We have the purple loggy team winning, orange team. I miss a letter, so I'm not sure what they're called. Starts with an S. They get second. And the green Vula team loses again. I'm so bad with like the tribe names. I just call them by their color, really.
Yep, me too.
So Loggy gets to decide who goes on the journey, and it's Camilla, Bianca, and Justin. I loved that Justin described it as like Yahtzee, because I love Yahtzee. I love Yahtzee. It's one of my games. I'm good at it.
I like that game too. That makes me think of my childhood. That's a fun one.
So yeah, when I was with Brent, we used to play a lot of Yahtzee, and that's how we would decide what movie we watch. Whoever won got to pick the movie.
I love it. That's great.
And I'm really good at Yahtzee, like I said.
You
So
can do strat. Yeah, you can do strategy. So that's cool.
I got to pick a lot of movies. But yeah, so Basically, there was like seven dice, and there were one side had a flame, one side had a skull, and the other sides were like blank, basically, like they didn't mean anything. So they had to, if they had to keep rolling until they got either four skulls or four flames. If they got four skulls, then they lost their vote. If they got four flames, then they got an extra vote. So Camilla is the only person that got an extra vote, and Bianca and Justin, which ends up being Justin's demise, lose their vote. Camilla is honest with her tribe and she tells them that she gets the extra vote. Bianca lies completely about the game, says it's something completely different than it was, and she knew she wasn't gonna win, so that there was no way she had like the endurance or the strength to do it. So she didn't even risk her vote. But she ends up telling Thomas the truth. Which, like, how is the one person that you trust Thomas? I don't understand.
I know. I feel like that was like foreshadowing. It's going to come back.
Unless they're not on the same tribe next time.
Yeah, right. That's true.
I'm so curious about this tribe swap. I hope Eva and Joe get to stay together. And if not, I'm curious who the next person Eva will confide in is, because she's gonna have to confide in somebody. She's obviously nervous about it. They show her in her hands, and so Justin lies and says that he can earn comfort, shelter, food, or nothing, but that they don't find out until the next day, because he's trying to save himself. He doesn't want to tell them that he doesn't have a vote that night.
Right.
So when we get to tribal is crazy. We have like Mary versus Say, and then we have like Mary plays her shot in the dark and she's safe, which I think this is only the second time I have seen a safe person play a shot in the dark ever, maybe.
I was very happy for her.
Yes, I know, me too. I
She's probably one of my favorites.
So I gave Mary my MVP.
Me too. You had to.
And just how she was like so nonchalant when she got back to camp and she was like swimming and like,
Yeah, she played it up. She did a great job.
she knew she couldn't scramble. Like, oh, she was so smart. So smart. So well played. So yeah, she plays her shot in the dark. So then there are two votes for Mary and they don't count. So they have to do a revote. And I think at this point it's like kind of obvious that Justin lost his vote, but he's not outed quite yet. So Say votes for Justin, obviously. Cedric votes for Say, and then there's another tie. So then they have to do a second revote, and Say can only vote for Justin since it's between them, and there's another tie. This is when Jeff says, like, okay, since we're in a deadlock, I have to say that like Justin doesn't have a vote. And so then it's confirmed that Justin is the one who hasn't been voting. So Mary doesn't have a vote. Justin doesn't have a vote. And because it's in a deadlock and Say is one of the people who is being named, Cedric has to decide who he's going to send home. Say has a very compelling argument that Justin lied about te not telling them that he didn't have a vote and that she tells him the truth all the time about everything. And Cedric ends up keeping Say over Justin, even though he just voted for Say, well, three times. No, twice, because he voted for Mary the first time. And yeah, so Justin went home. And Cedric tells Mary and Say that they have to get along, which is hilarious. Because, like, that's not it's not feasible, it's not realistic. Say is just saying whatever she has to say to stay, and it worked.
I thought Cedric was so dumb.
For voting out Justin.
I mean, it was pretty obvious. Justin's the one who doesn't have the vote, but he keeps deadlocking it and deadlocking it and deadlocking it, only to change your mind at the last minute and reverse everything you just did. So now Say's never going to trust you. Justin, who was your ally, is gone. It was dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. Honestly, yeah.
I gave him LVP. I had to.
I can see that. And I honestly wish that I would have too. But I didn't. I gave it to Justin because he lost his vote. He lied. Like, if he would have not told anybody but Cedric, if he would have just told Cedric, then he would have stayed. So, and also he disappointed me, so he got my LVP. I'm excited for the tribe swap. I think it was a great first three episodes that we've had so far. Yeah, I'm really excited for the season. I love Survivor. I think it's, yeah, one of the better shows that we watch.
I like this season so far.
Me too. I guess the last thing that I'm going to kind of tease a little bit is Temptation Island. It's just a really good season. If you haven't watched it yet, it's on Netflix. I definitely recommend everybody watch it. I could not stop watching it. It's just so good. A lot of drama, a lot of chaos. There are a lot of delusional people on this season who just, once you watch it, you will see why I'm using, like, I use the word, if I had one word to describe this season, it would be delusional. And like, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, there's definite cheating involved. There are people that you wouldn't expect to get together that get together. There are people who cheat and think they didn't cheat. There are people who cheat and then get mad at the other significant other for talking shit about them, which, like, they clearly saw you. I mean, it's such a crazy season. Highly recommend. That's my tease for Temptation Island. I binged all 10 episodes in 2 days, and it helped kind of break me out of my, like, I've been napping so much since I had surgery, and it helped me kind of break that because I couldn't stop watching
Really?
it. Yeah. Yeah, it was so good. So I've talked to Swaz about it a lot, and he wants to talk about it. So he wanted me to ask you and Abby if you were gonna watch it or not. But not saying that you have to by any means, but it's definitely, like, a really, really good. I would recommend.
I wasn't planning to watch it, but maybe I'll try. I don't know when I'll have time, but maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, then I recommend it. And for all of our listeners, if you want to watch a love show, this is a good one. It's a great season. And it's, like, number three on Netflix right now. I can't remember what's number one, but I know the Kate Hudson show, new show. I can't think of the name of it right now, but I also watched that while I was in recovering on my week off, and that was really good. So that's a number two. So for it to only have two shows above it, and one of them being a Kate Hudson show, I think says a lot. Not even Love is Blind. Love is Blind hasn't even isn't up there. And they just had their reunion, which was also really good.
I don't think people liked this season. I didn't watch it, but I heard a lot of complaints.
Yeah, but I thought people were looking forward to the reunion because I thought some of that would get resolved, but I don't know. Yeah, Temptation Island is definitely where it's at in terms of dating shows. Chaos. It's a good one. It's a good one. Definitely better than the season of The Bachelor, which isn't saying much considering this is one of the first seasons of The Bachelor. But definitely better than that. All right. Well, any final thoughts?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone so much for tuning in, and we will see you soon.